Paternity isn't just a legal term. It shapes a child's future. Today, Anna Gerstein shares the legal realities of establishing, challenging, and protecting parental rights in Florida.
Welcome to Women Winning Divorce, the podcast helping successful women navigate divorce with dignity so you can protect yourself, your children, and your assets. I'm Heather Quick, founding attorney at Florida Women's Law Group, where women win at life.
This week, we had our managing partner, Anna Gerstein, on the show, and we had a powerful conversation about paternity in Florida. Anna shared when questions of paternity most commonly arise, how it affects custody, visitation, and child support, and what steps parents can take to protect their children's best interest. Welcome to this week's episode of Women Winning Divorce. I'm Heather Quick, owner and attorney at Florida Women's Law Group. Today, I'm joined by Anna Gerstein, partner and attorney at Florida Women's Law Group. Anna brings over a decade of experience specializing in family law, and she has worked extensively on complex issues, including paternity and parental rights. She is passionate about guiding families through challenging legal situations with expertise and compassion. Today, Anna and I will be discussing when questions of paternity most commonly arise, how paternity affects time sharing, visitation, and child support, and practical advice for navigating paternity disputes while protecting your child's best interests. Welcome, Anna.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So happy to have you back on the show. But for some of our listeners who may not have heard your previous episodes, please share a little bit about your background and how you came to love family law.
Yes. So I have only practiced family law for as long as I can remember. I mean, from the day I started practicing, I've only done family law. Even when I was in law school, I only interned and clerked for family law judges. I interned for family law firms. I've always wanted to be a lawyer, but I specifically always wanted to be a divorce lawyer. The only kind of lawyer that gets to have a different kind of day every single day. That is still true to this day. I do not have the same day at all at work. Something new, something different every single day. And then keep things fun.
Well, that is wonderful. And we are so happy to have you here at Florida Women's Law Group, of course. So let's start talking about paternity. What is it? Tell our listeners what it is.
So paternity, I mean, the literal definition means being someone's father. But in the family law context, paternity action is when unmarried parties have a child together and a party files to establish the parentage, to then establish some sort of a parenting plan, child support that goes along with that, because they can't file a divorce action, for example, to where time sharing would be established. So they have to file a paternity action.
Yes. Yeah, so for those of you listeners who are like, we're not going to get married because we don't want to have a divorce and go to court. Well, if you have kids, you probably still will.
Almost the same.
It's very similar, but yet in a lot of ways, which we're going to get into, can be much more difficult as well. Yeah. Now, how has your experience at Florida Women's Law Group prepared you to handle complex issues like paternity disputes?
So similar to what I just said, I mean, paternity, two the biggest issues in most paternity cases is going to be visitation, and it's going to be child support. Visitation and child support are a part of every divorced family with kids, every modified agreement that have kids that are modifying it. So it's something that it's something that's constantly, that we're constantly doing, that I'm constantly doing every single day in and day out, establishing parenting plans, establishing child support for parties. So dealing with those types of issues completely, they're all related to each other, and they give you it's the experience that kind of comes along with it.
Right. And so let's talk a little bit about the issues that are going to be resolved, which child support we're not going to get into as much. But with the time sharing, the factors are the same, right? As if you were divorced.
Yes, the factors are the same that the court has to consider. And again, the starting place is 50-50 in the state of Florida. So yes, it is exactly the same, and the same type of best interest of the child that is the forefront for the courts that they need to consider. So it's the same. It is the same under a divorce and or a paternity action.
And well, you know, I could get all off our off kilter because there are a lot of things I do want to talk about because I think it's so important for women to know these things because in my experience, they are pretty much floored when they understand what's going to happen in a paternity action when they're first in our office. Would you agree?
Yes. Yes. It's a big shock. And I, you know, you mentioned earlier some of these women who are like, well, I don't want to get divorced. I just want to have a child with this man. And that's your prerogative. That's absolutely, you know, you can do that. You should consult with an attorney about every single possible what if. You should be prepared. The laws have changed recently, too. I mean, everything is... You need to be prepared. It's very important.
It is. And, you know, well, I'm going to keep going because I always think of things that I think are interesting. But let's talk about when do paternity disputes typically come up in your experience?
Usually when there's a disagreement between mom and dad, right? So they have a child together. They still stay together. Most of them do stay together for a while. You know, it's a different, just like a divorce. I mean, it could be 2-3 years when a breakup occurs. So these parties could have continued, you know, residing together or continued doing some sort of a visitation schedule with each other. And a disagreement arises. Somebody doesn't like something. Somebody gets mad at somebody. Somebody holds a child. And usually that's when somebody has to come to court and has to figure out how we're going to resolve this going forward.
And also for our listeners, can happen then when you break up, right? Obviously, if you're with this person, you break up and it may, even if it seems amicable, then all of a sudden, you know, ladies, you're like, wait a minute, where are you living and who's there with you, right? Just like after a divorce, because then, you know, other significant others come into the picture. One, that pretty much is going to be a guarantee. You're not going to be happy about it. And he's going to want all this time with his, you know, playhouse with the new girlfriend and or wife. And also grandparents, right? I mean, we know that. And there seems to be often more, I don't know, and I'd like your opinion if you see it that way, maybe more involvement, you know, getting in the middle of it in paternity cases with either your parents or his parents than in a divorce. What do you think about that?
You know, I think that is true because I think that in a lot of those types of situations, the grandparent, you know, so let's talk about the dad, for example. Dad's mom, you know, was, you know, helped them during the day, watched the baby for them for a little bit here and there. The two of them break up. You know, the mom isn't so close with her ex-boyfriend's mother, you know, anymore. They don't have any sort of connection. She's not her mother-in-law. You know, it's not something like so now there's no rights for this grandma to be able to see this grandchild. So the only way to be able to get the right to see this grandchild is for her to make sure that the dad has the visitation, even if the dad doesn't want it sometimes. That's happened so many times where, you know, you get these clients that are like, it's been 5 years. The only reason he's doing this is because his mom wants more than I'm willing to offer or agree with. But he doesn't even want this. It's all being pushed by the mom or the dad in that situation, the grandparent. But yeah,
and that's just, you know, for our listeners, it's just like, it's just understanding the reality, right? Because these are, you know, that's what drives humans to do things. And we've just done so many of these cases that we see that with most of the clients. If we were to say, okay, think back when things were good, like, this is not shocking that this is happening, is it? And it's not. You guys know who you're with, the majority. You kind of know what to expect. A lot of times there are those issues that you don't. And we're going to get into that a little bit because you really weren't in a relationship, you know, with the father. So let's talk about the most common reasons someone might challenge paternity.
Those would be, they're so fact specific. So this one's a very tough one because they could be such, it could be so fact specific. It really depends on how was it established in the first place. How was it? Was there is their name on the birth certificate? Is there an acknowledgement? Is there a Department of Revenue order adjudicating paternity? Is there a circuit court order adjudicating paternity? There's so much that kind of plays into it. And with the new law changes, I think a lot of that's shifted. It used to just be that mom was the natural guardian. That's it. You weren't married. It was mom. Now, not so much. Now these dads are signing these birth certificates. They're signing acknowledgments of paternity that aren't challenged within a certain timeline like you're supposed to. And they're having the same rights as mothers from that get-go in terms of being a custodian over this child. even if you're not married, even if there is no marriage between the parents. So a lot of times, the most common reasons I think somebody would come and challenge it would be, potentially could be wrong, I she forced me to sign this. She told me I was the dad. I wasn't the dad. Could be a DNA test. But again, so many timelines and certain specific rules apply for all of this stuff. It's very difficult to challenge it once it's been, some of these things have been done. And again, if there are certain timelines that are associated with depending on which kind of way that paternity was established, there's timelines. And if you miss them, very hard to overcome too.
So let's talk about, because the law in this for our listeners, we're talking about the law change. It's just because these were significant changes that happened, over 2 years ago, but not everyone is aware. And so let's talk about how now you establish paternity legally in Florida.
So you can establish it through, I mentioned briefly, you can establish it through the circuit court so that somebody could file a petition for a paternity action. That's usually what we do here. And again, this could be the mom filing. This could be the dad filing. It could be established through an administrative order, like the Department of Revenue. That could be established through them. It could be established acknowledgement of paternity. And there's a certain affidavit with all these specific regulations, witnesses that are lots of very specific details. And, both parents' names on birth certificates with both parents signing, things like that. So it could be established in a myriad of different ways now. And those are all legal. Those are all final to a degree as well. Again, like I said, unless there are certain timelines that you follow and certain steps you take to be able to challenge or contest those.
Now, let's talk about the time sharing, which is visitation custody, for our listeners. That's usually, we talked about that at the beginning. That is the main issue that we are dealing with in a paternity case. Child support is going to be addressed, but time sharing has to be established first because then that will affect child support. So let's talk about what are we seeing in time sharing cases with paternity.
So, same thing. Again, depends on the timeline of when and how the client, and we're talking about the woman here, so the mom, in our situations, when she comes to us, what's happened before she's come to us? Has there been an acknowledgement? Has there been an affidavit signed by both parties? Have there been some sort of adjudication? It's going to all matter depending on what has happened prior and where, what timeline the paternity is at, essentially. Has it been fully established by one of the things that we've talked about just now? But if it's not established in any of those ways, dad wasn't at the birth, dad never signed an acknowledgement, there's never been an order. Mother technically is still the sole custodian, right? That's of this child born out of wedlock, but again, would have no standing to enforce any time sharing at that point, like to require a mom to come back from moving or something like that. But again, you just have to be very careful. What did you sign? A lot of times these acknowledgments of paternities, the people sign in hospitals when the kids are born, when their babies are born, and they don't even know. They're just like, oh, I didn't even realize I signed that. But they do. So it's establishing paternity then starts creating that rebuttable presumption that we're under already, the fifth time sharing. So that's the time sharing you're looking at when paternity has been established. And then you have to apply all the legitimate factors, work with your attorney to be able to prove or disprove what is in the child's best interest.
And yeah, and we'll continue to get into that and talk about that. But now, how do DNA test factors into paternity case? Because if you've signed acknowledgement of paternity, like let's say all those things, you're on the birth certificate and that was signed in the hospital. Does a DNA test even need to be done?
No.
It doesn't.
It depends. It depends. But, usually no. But again, it depends on the timing, right? Kind of what we mentioned earlier. There are circumstances where the judges could deny DNA testing depending on when and why it's being requested. There's tons of case law and there's tons of cases out there where the courts have to balance the stigma of illegitimacy against the child's right to getting the support from a parent. And also, if paternity has not been established prior to a filing of a court action, then somebody needs to file a motion for a paternity test. It just depends on the timing of it. But if there's been that acknowledgement signed with the witnesses, with everything that's required to be signed according to the statute, you only have 60 days. There's only a 60-day rescission period where you have to be able to go back and say, contest that acknowledgement. And if you don't do it, it's going to be pretty hard for the court to come back. There's a lot of things that the court has to go through to then be able to say that is in the best interest of the child to go ahead and order this new DNA test.
And, let's talk about that, everyone listeners, 60 days after that was signed, meaning you were in the hospital, you just gave birth. So you can imagine, you got a lot on your mind. There's a lot going on. It's going to be, it seems to me, you know, from our perspective of if you didn't, you know, you wanted to challenge it, 60 days really isn't enough, but that's the law, right?
It's very quick. And, you know, and again, this is more, this would go to like the disestablishment, and there's a whole statute on that. And again, like I said, there's very, very specific pleadings that you have to file. You have to plead certain things. It's so specific. You miss one thing, you know, you don't get it right off the bat. It's a motion to dismiss and they're successful, but it's very difficult to accomplish. And they have to have lots and lots of evidence, the courts, after the filing of a very specific petition. And, you know, one of the factors, you know, could be that there was newly discovered evidence related to the paternity that's come to that the mom's knowledge, let's say, since the initial determination, or the dad's. I mean, there's been times where dads have filed disestablishments as well, where they don't want to be the legal dads of the child as well. But it's very, very tough.
Okay, let me ask you this. Does the mother have to agree? Like, let's say the guy shows up and he's like, I want to be on the birth certificate and I want to acknowledge paternity. And the mom is like, you know, on the side, maybe not in front of him, but like, no, I don't want that. Like, he's not really the dad. What do you think would happen then?
So that's, you know, obviously the hospital that you're in and what kind of procedures that they're doing. And again, this is a good opportunity to have a conversation with an attorney prior to, you know, giving birth to this child, because you're right. You never know. You could be sitting there and be like, oh, the dad's never going to show up. And then he does, you know, to the hospital, and you're just completely floored and you have no idea how to be able to respond to something. You also might think it's not a big deal. He can sign the birth certificate. What does that do?
Yeah. Oh, it does a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so it's that would be very interesting. I mean, I think that there would be, you know, I'm guessing there would be an argument at the hospital. I'm guessing that the hospital likely, you know, if there's an argument, maybe the hospital doesn't allow the signature on that.
I mean, only the woman knows, really, until there's a DNA test, and you would have to consent to that. I don't know. Just interesting. So ladies, just think about that kind of stuff. Like, right? Because that's the way my brain works. Like thinking mm-hmm. about all the things that may or may not happen. And like Anna said, if you are pregnant, not married, not sure, even if you are sure about the relationship or not, you know, talk to an attorney. Like get a good understanding of what the heck you're about to be facing in addition to parenting.
And even if the dad doesn't sign the birth certificate, I mean, he can go the next day and he can file a petition for paternity and serve that mom, you know, 3 days postpartum just right at her house. It doesn't, and you know, and then it just starts the action. And then there's, you know, there will be a DNA test if for some reason mom doesn't acknowledge the paternity at that time. I mean, so it's not like you're not going to get away with it forever. You're not going to just get to say this is it.
However, you're then not under the 60 day time frame. So at least then.
That's true.
If they, which I would think they would listen to the mom. So, you know, at least now you're putting a bit more of the responsibility on him to do some stuff.
But, yeah, and that would be for the acknowledgement of the paternity.
Yeah, so that would acknowledgement. Be. Now, paternity cases can be emotional and stressful for everyone involved. Anna, how do you help clients navigate these situations with care?
So they are very tough because there's only two, you know, there's two issues. It's child support and time sharing. This is this baby. This is this child. This is, you know, this is sometimes dads coming out. They're harder. They're harder sometimes. They're a lot harder than a divorce, right? At least in a divorce, these mom and dad at least lived under the same roof for very, very long, you know, for long periods of time, whether or not dad was, you know, involved or not. These cases, I mean, these are dads that sometimes come back 3-4 years later, haven't spoken to this kid, and they're, I want 50-50 because that's what the law tells me I can have. Mm-hmm. So they're very hard. So, I mean, it is, you know, cases are all different. They're, you know, they're unique in their own way. So, you know, just making sure that specific things that apply to each case, you know, does this one require a family counselor to do some sort of reunification? Does this one require some supervised visits just to see how things go based on some facts in your case? So every single case, I mean, it's, you know, we handle it with care. We definitely, it's not a cookie cutter case. No paternity is. So we use the tools that we know we have that have been successful in achieving results. And then we apply them to those circumstances as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where it's, I know it's stressful. It's challenging for many young women to hear this, particularly, you know, they're, I don't know if it's, if they were in a relationship, you know, we've had these, so many of these cases, you know, we broke up, then I found out I was pregnant, or it was a one night stand, but you know what? I want a baby. I want the baby. And I just, you know, I would really implore you to understand what you're looking at, not just not have the baby. It's not about that. It's just, it's really hard when you've, you know, a new mom is hearing this for the first time, the reality of the law. And, you know, it's worth it to find out ahead of time. I really think it is.
I agree.
It may not change. At least you know what's coming and you're not going to be blindsided.
I agree. And there's, you know, there's an opportunity to always, you know, there's cap somebody in a good day, come to a, you know, more legitimate agreement versus starting on the defense and, you know,
yeah,
kind of a lot of things are happening at the same time. And, you know, you're kind of working backwards. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and back in the day, like I said, before the statutes changed, dad, without a paternity, without an order of paternity, dads were not legal guardians. You know, the dad withheld the child, you file an emergency motion, done, granted. You know, why would this dad even have it? Now, not so much. Denied. Acknowledgement of paternity. Here it is. It's very tough. With the new law changes, especially, there's a lot of old articles, old things that are happening, you know, that are still going to be coming up on Google. This is out there forever. I do caution people Googling these things because a lot of misinformation is still out there with the applicability of the old statutes, of the old laws. Things have changed. You know, if you Google it, you're going to find 7 different answers and maybe one is even right. You know, and that's maybe okay. If you wrote the right question.
Yeah, and that's so important because when you have the, you know, a paternity case, the reason I think this isn't just in my opinion, but the reason that is so difficult is because it's very emotional, right? And as lawyers, you know, for our listeners, we can't really litigate emotions. And the courts, the judges, they're not sympathetic to your emotions. Like they're not, they really, and this is harsh, but they really don't care about how you feel about certain things because they have to make decisions based on evidence that is objective. And your feelings, all of our feelings are subjective. And so it's a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings. And at the end of the day, most cases, you know, yeah, I get it. The father has never parented before. He doesn't know what he's doing. That doesn't prevent them from allowing him to have a newborn baby half of the time. And that's devastating, I know, for women to hear.
Yeah.
I think it's just completely asinine, and it's the stupidest law in the world, right? Babies need their mother, right? Everybody goes to therapy because of their mother, not because of their father, right? It's not about that, which is all my own opinion. The statute does not take that into account. However, that's why it's important, as Anna said, like you can Google all you want, but you need to talk to a lawyer. You need to invest your time and money and get the truth, the reality of your situation. You might not like it, but you need to understand the reality of your situation and how you're going to be treated under the law because of the way Florida is. Now, I don't know if all, you know, what the other states do. I do know that Florida was kind of slow on the 50-50 thing. So I doubt that there are many states that are going to be a lot different on the paternity issues, really.
I agree. And, you know, when, you know, I think the judges, they hear it. They're all very, very, you know, they, you know, we leave hearings. They're just like, okay, I felt like she heard me. She listened to everything, you know, I said. And it's true. They do. And they will. But like you said, they are limited by the factors. And those things are, you know, those factors don't take emotion in there. You know, it is, they're very specific. They're very delineated. And if there's no detriment to the child's, you know, young age is not a detriment, unfortunately. You know, the child's feeding habits, you know, not a detriment. That's something that's very, I do want to say to like the new moms, that's a big shock. I mean, the courts, you know, research says breastfeeding is the best. It's the healthiest. You can have all the doctors come in and say it, but if this child is healthy, normal, no allergies, nothing else going on, sorry, he's going to go with dad. The baby's going to go with dad, even if you're breastfeeding.
Yeah.
It's very tough. It's tough to, like you said, it's very tough to hear that. for the first time.
Right. And that's why it's, you know, what Anna is saying is just, you know, getting advice sooner rather than later, being prepared, which, you know, most people don't do. They wait until they get served and, you know, then they are surprised by this. And I will tell you, for our listeners, it is your parents that are going to be the most surprised and the most angry about the whole thing. I'm just telling you, we've done these for so many years. But the reality is we do understand all of those emotions. We can't solve all of those things, but we understand at least the way you're feeling. And whether that's where it's so important is, despite how you feel about it, your ability to listen and understand legally, you know, what's going to be going on in your situation. Because there's also another reason that paternity is a bit more challenging than a divorce is because there aren't as many things to negotiate over, right? Because when you have assets, when you have spousal support, and then of course, time sharing and child support, there's more things that can be negotiated in a settlement to work. But you have to understand that the time sharing gets done first, and they all want 50-50, whether they're going to ever do it or not. That's what they want, because that means they don't pay any child. They pay little to no child support. So that's just the truth. And it'll take me, you know, another 50 years to believe any different, because that's what it's been forever. So ladies, that's why I share that with you, because they already know they're going to get it. And then there's no real negotiating on the money after that, because it takes care of itself. And that can be really frustrating. And you'll be like, but we live together and I was a stay-at-home mom. That doesn't exist. That is not a true statement of anything that will give you value if you aren't married. It doesn't. You are out there and you better go get a job, because there's not even a temporary. There is nothing. He has no legal obligation to provide you any support. And that is also a hard truth reality to hear.
That is true. And, you know, just by coming to consult with us, you know, to talk to us about your options, it doesn't mean that we're filing something right off the bat either, because I think that's a misconception too. Well, I don't want to file anything. You know, I want to get the information. That doesn't mean anything. You know, being prepared, knowledge is power. I mean, you just be prepared for these types of situations, because nobody can predict the future. They just can't. We'd have no jobs. Nobody would get married. Nobody would ever have children. I mean, we'd have no jobs. Nobody can predict the future. You have to, you know, prepare yourself for, you know, for everything, and prepare yourself for the worst.
Yeah.
That's the only way that you can have the most reasonable expectations, but also can do everything you needed to, even leading up to potential situation too.
Now, what advice do you give to families when there are complicated family dynamics, like blended families or step parents?
Those are tough, right? Step parents do not have rights in a divorce, you know, in a paternity case. You know, they are not the parents. You know, a lot of parenting plans that get finalized even say, you know, mommy and daddy and mom and dad are reserved for mom and dad. They are not to be used to call a step parent, a girlfriend, a fiance. I mean, some parenting plans will even like lay that out. Because why is there any rules on anything? It's because somebody has done it. Somebody has done it in the past. And that is, I mean, it could be really tough. I mean, it's, you know, he's not the one doing any of the parenting. He's doing nothing. You know, it's all his new girlfriend. It's all his fiance. She's doing all the pickups. She's doing all the drop-offs. Why should she be the one watching our child when I'm available? You know, it's a tough time. It's a very, it can become very tough, you know, and it's tough. Most situations, courts do not micromanage things like that. So again, get the information, get the advice, see how we can help you, see how we can provide you some feedback on what we know has happened in the past, and how you can apply it to your case and your situation. But it's happening. I mean, like, you know, people get remarried, people get into a relationship like that right after they live together, right out, you know, just like that nowadays. You can't avoid it.
So I know it does this, but okay. So Anna, we weren't ever married. But now I'm married and he got a new job in Georgia. So that we're just going to go, right?
My favorite, the relocation stuff. It's very difficult too. I mean, it depends. Again, it depends on where you're at. Where's your paternity? Has it been established? Is it, you know, was there just an acknowledgement, but not an order? You know, I mean, there's every single, it depends on where you're at. If you can just leave and you could be shut, you can leave. But if there's been a proper establishment of paternity, the court could make you come back.
Yeah, that one is usually a shocker as well. And that's why I just wanted to bring it up, because it doesn't remove you from having to get permission to relocate. And very often, you know, the case starts out paternity, you know, you were never married, but then you end up getting married. He may end up getting married, right? And having more families. And it doesn't mean just because you weren't married, you can just leave.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Which is also not what anybody wants to hear, but.
No, yeah.
And not that this is about relocation, but it does still apply. And that's why I think it's important in these cases. Now, can you file a paternity action when you're pregnant, before the child is?
You can. The court can't establish a parenting plan, but there can be an establishment of paternity. But you just can't do a parenting plan until the child's born.
And because I don't know if I've ever seen that happen, you know, but I think that, you know, potentially it could, but most people would wait until the child's born. Do you think?
Yeah, most people usually wait. There's been a couple of cases where, you know, I can even think one on top of my head too, where there's been maybe not necessarily a case filing, but both parties have, you know, retained attorneys. And we were even negotiating his visit to the, you know, his presence in the delivery room, you know, and, you know, all of that stuff before a case was even filed. So it happens. That could happen. But yes, I mean, paternity could be established, but it's there can't be a parenting plan until the child's born.
So, and that's important to know, because I think timing and understanding, you know, can that happen? A lot can happen. So you don't want to be like, oh, well, that can't ever happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's the worst thing to think.
Yes, exactly. That is the worst thing to think. All right. Now, are there common misconceptions about paternity that you have seen in your practice?
Yes, definitely lately, right? Since that new law change that I mentioned, since July 2023, biggest changes that have happened in years to that paternity statute. I mean, so now there's so much outdated information specifically related to that moms are the only guardians of these kiddos born out of wedlock. Yeah. It's a misconception. You know, that's not true anymore, depending on what has happened prior to you coming to us or whatever. You know, there could be, so it's no longer the same. You know, mom's like, well, I can do whatever I want. That's what the internet tells me to do. Not always. And you have to be very careful. And the judges do not take that lightly. They're how could you do this? You knew he was the father, right? I mean, you knew he was the father. You knew that he wanted to have visitation. Why would you then just, you know, pack up and leave in the middle of the night? Like, what were you doing? So I caution you, you talk to an attorney. It's very important before you make any sort of significant moves, because you are in a weird limbo type of situation, depending on what had happened at the time of birth.
Yeah, it is. It's important to know and not to do those things, because, again, those are ruled by emotions. And you know, I'm not going to say that they're wrong, but they're just not going to win the day. And you are going to be very uncomfortable being questioned by the judge. Let me tell you, the judge like to ask questions when people have done things that they kind of knew they shouldn't have done. You're going to be in just such a uncomfortable position, and you set yourself up kind of, you know, in a bit of a hole where they already think badly of you, and it's just not in your best interest, and then not best for your child.
Agreed. And they're going to take that into account, right? You can't go backwards sometimes when you do these things and you just decide that you get to do whatever you want just because you're the mom. I mean, I wish, you know, but it's just not the case. And you can, the courts, you know, whether or not they say it outright, whether or not they write it in, they do hold it against you. You know, they do rule thereafter. And it's just, you know, it's very difficult to go backwards. Very difficult, you know, and that's why, you know, sometimes the offense versus, you know, getting prepared, knowing what you need to do, knowing how to do it in the proper way. It's just the best thing you can do. being on the defense and then having to defend some of these actions, it's very tough. And most of the times, well, I just didn't know the law. That doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't work, ladies. I'm telling you, it's not going to work. But we are here to help you. And what's important is that you do get an advocate to help you, but you also have to accept the reality of your situation, which you might not like. I understand. However, that there are ways to still achieve what you want, hopefully, always, in a paternity case. But before we go, Anna, as you know, the show is called Women Winning Divorce. I am a big believer in winning at life, and I would like to know what winning at life means to you.
So for me, this week it's a little different. You know, every week I feel like it's different. Overall, my winning at life for me right now is I recently had a very good outcome for one of my clients. It's actually a paternity case that we just finished up on here, where the case is getting transferred to a different state where the client and her kiddos are residing and where it should be. But of course, nobody just agrees to do what's right. So we had a contested hearing on it and we were able to succeed, and the case is getting moved to be closer to her and makes things a lot easier for her and the kiddos. That's winning to me, being able to help somebody in a situation like that, that needed the help and that deserved the help, and that in the judge making those great rulings, taking into account everybody's arguments, you know, he heard from everybody. And there are good arguments on both sides, but, you know, making that good decision, that's what winning is for me right now.
Well, congratulations. Now, Anna, where can our listeners find you for more information and resources?
Yes, they can find me here at Florida Women's Law Group. They can go to our website and then check us out there. We have social media. We have blogs. They're, you know, welcome to any of those. There's a lot of information that they can gather from our website. But the best is to come and see us. Come and talk to us. That's good. You're going to get a lot of information from us.
Well, thank you so much, Anna. We've reached the end of our show today. And we are so appreciative of Anna Durstein for joining us to share her expertise on paternity and parental rights. Your insights will help so many women listening today feel more confident, empowered, and prepared to navigate these complex legal situations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we wrap up, I want to share something personal. On February 17th, my book, Unbreakable Divorce, will be released on Amazon. I wrote this book for the woman who feels scared, unsure, or quietly asking herself what comes next. After walking along so many women through divorce, I know this season can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to break you. Unbreakable Divorce is a reminder that even here, you are strong, capable, and not alone.
Listeners, if you or someone you know in the Northeast Florida area is going through or even thinking about divorce, you're not alone. Taking that first step can feel overwhelming. But it doesn't have to be. Our newsletter is filled with actionable advice tailored to guide you through this process. By signing up, you'll gain the tools to face the unknown with courage and see if we're the right fit to support you during this life-changing time. Don't wait. Click the link in the show notes, fill out the form, and take the first step toward building a brighter future today.